This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khayran for joining us for today's My Quran Struggles webinar. My name is Amina Muyala Botic. I'm joining you from Bosnia. I'm the education director and Quranic alphabet teacher at Jannah Institute, and I'm very, very happy and excited to welcome you all to our today's session. So today, inshallah, with me, I'm joined by my beloved and very dear ustadhas and dear teachers at Jannah Institute, the Quran teachers at Jannah Institute. First and foremost, with me is Ustadha Rana, who has been teaching girls and women in Jannah Institute since 2013, mashallah. She earned her Bachelor's of Arts degree in English Literature and her teaching diploma at the Syrian University in Damascus. She memorized the Quran in Beirut with Sheikh Nahid Khalil Khattab and received her Hifz Ijaza and the Al Jazriya poem or the certification in the recitation of Hafsa an Asim from the highest authority of the Quran memorization in Syria under Sheikh Muhi ad-Din al-Kurdi in 2002. Welcome, dear Ustadha Rana. May Allah reward you for joining us. My second Ustadha, my second beloved friend as well, and Ustadha is Ustadha Ayat Abdul Rahman, who was first introduced to Jannah Institute in 2018. Ustadha Ayat is a very serious learner of, I would say, general Islamic studies as well as the Quran. She was involved in the Year of Knowledge program at Jannah Institute, where she was also a teaching assistant, and she has been teaching at Jannah Institute for quite some time now, mashallah. One of her most popular courses, I would say, that she has been teaching was Surah Al-Baqarah Hifz course. Jazakumullahu khairan again, Ustadha Ayat, for joining me today, and I'm very happy to be here with you and just learning from you, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. It's an absolute honor.
Okay, so let's start, bismillah. So, first and foremost, this topic of the Quran struggles, my Quran struggles, is a very important topic, I would say. I can say, well, like, there is not none of us who ever has like had any type of a connection with the Quran. No one is safe from it, first and foremost. And all of us struggle in a certain way, in some certain degree with the Quran. So the question first that I would like us to kind of consider and to think about is, why do we struggle with the Quran? And why does this struggle exist at all? And first and foremost, we have to say that it's just a part of us accepting that we're not perfect. Like, let's think about it. Like, if we would recite the Quran in the most perfect and complete way, if we would never make mistakes in the Quran recitation, it would easily, I would say, make us arrogant, because then we would be very easily kind of lenient towards thinking we're better than others. So accepting that we're always going to struggle with something, with either recitation, recognizing letters, memorization, review of the Quran, practicing the Quran, understanding the Quran, it's all a part of the process of our relationship with the Quran. It's a part of the Quran journey. Another reason why we struggle, I would say, is that it's because we don't know Arabic. So there are many, many people all over the world, many Muslims all over the world, who would like to start, let's say, a Quran journey, who would like to nourish that connection with the Quran, but they simply don't understand it. And it's a very struggling process to start from, let's say, the Quranic alphabet class, or to start with the basics of pronouncing the letters correctly, pronouncing them in a word, connecting words together in the Quran, binding the words, or later to improve that recitation, make it like more fluent, and then applying, let's say, the tajweed rulings, etc. For a person who doesn't speak Arabic, it's a huge struggle. I come from a background of a non-Arabic speakers and of a non-Arabic speaker country. And it has been a struggle for me as well. And it's a struggle for everyone, I would say, who has been learning the Quran here, because you have to start from the start. And it's many times it's like, since you're not surrounded by people who speak Arabic, it becomes like harder to pronounce the letters and apply the tajweed rulings. But even on the other side, for people who, let's say, understand the Arabic language, who are native English and Arabic language speakers, we have to say that, especially in today's world, the Quranic Arabic and the way that we recite the Quran, it's not the same as the Arabic that we hear in the streets. So in many cases, I mean, even people who speak Arabic have to correct their pronunciation, they have to correct their recitation of the Quran, and they still struggle with memorization, so, or review of the Quran. So it's a universal struggle of many, many Muslims, I would say. And it's something that is a part of our nature and the part of being a Muslim who strives on being a better person, who strives on being better with the connection of the Quran, with the, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we struggle in this journey. And alhamdulillah that it's like that. So alhamdulillah, I'm very happy that today we're going to try to address certain struggles that we may have. I would like us to talk about what are some of the things that are very frequently mentioned, and just see, give some tips, I would say, or give some advice, especially from my beloved teachers who have been on this journey of either Quran memorization, recitation, or even teaching the Quran for so many years. Before this webinar happened, we invited people to join us in a link to register if they would like us, if they would like to get notified about this webinar. And we asked them about their Quran struggle. We actually asked all of you who are now attending to share with us your Quran struggle, just so we can see what are the things that people usually mention, so we can address some of the main points or some of the main concerns or struggles that we have seen among the rest of the, among other ones that we have in our relationship with the Quran. So we kind of gathered a few of them for the purpose of this webinar, and inshallah now we're going to talk about them, and inshallah I will ask my ustadhas to share some tips and some advice for anyone who has some similar struggles as the ones who have shared it with us. So let's firstly start with مخارج الحروف. مخارج الحروف, for those of you who are maybe new to this topic, is basically the pronunciation of the letters. Many people struggle with usually finding the correct place of pronouncing letters, where to put our tongue, where to place our, how to kind of place our, let's say, mouth when we're pronouncing letters, where, how, what should our mouth be shaped when we pronounce letters, etc. Or on the other hand, how to improve that makharij, how to improve the pronunciation of the Arabic letters when we are reciting the Quran. Ustad Arana, what are some of the tips and advice that you would give to someone who is struggling with this type of a struggle with the pronunciation of letters?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. The first thing about makharij is, subhanallah, the Quran was conveyed to us by sounds. So if you want to learn the sound, you need to hear the sound. This is, yani, subhanallah, the first thing, you know, because if you look at the, how we the Quran was conveyed to us, it was conveyed to us through Jibril alayhi salam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the Sahaba, and from the Sahaba to their tabi'een, and from their time to this time. So it was conveyed. Right, it was like in the Quran, in the book of the Quran, later on when it was written. But the main thing is it was conveyed by the sound. So I feel like the most important thing is when you hear it right, you try to practice it right, and then you have someone to listen to you and correct your makharij. Because this is something you cannot just do on your own. You have to, and this is how the Quran was conveyed to us. It was conveyed to us through the sound, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pronounced everything, because even if you look at the Quran on the words, like you need to learn how to read it by listening to the sound and imitating the sound that you are hearing. And subhanallah, this is done by the help of the person who learned this Quran from another one through the chain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah.
Subhanallah. I remember, like, when this question was asked to me many times, since I teach the Quranic alphabet class, I have really many students who are struggling with the Quran, with the pronunciation of the letters. And some of the things that I usually tell them is, for example, when they're practicing on their own, of course, you cannot improve the makharij or the pronunciation unless you have someone to tell you what is incorrect or what do you need to improve, etc. But I usually tell them when they're practicing on their own, because it again, you have to do this thing on your own later. You have to practice, yeah. You have to pronounce it a lot. I tell them, for example, to have a mirror in front of themselves and to see the shape of their mouth, to see the way that their mouth are acting when they're pronouncing letters. That I remember, for example, when I was practicing this on my own, it really helped me a lot. Yes. So is this something that you would recommend as well?
Yes, subhanAllah, I used to do it. And I used to laugh with my students sometimes, tell them, okay, have the mirror in front of your face. Look at the shape of your mouth when you are saying, let's say, sa. Sa is not from your lips. If you see in the mirror that your lips are round, like you're making sa, this means that you are not doing the letter right. If you're doing it, so it's very important and crucial to have a mirror in front of your face and see how your lips are, because we have only two letters that are the lips letter. That's like a wa, fa, you know, that you're yes. using them. So if you use your lips while you are doing some other ma, ba, like some letters, but if you are using your lips when you are pronouncing other letters, this means you're not doing it right. So this is a very important thing, subhanAllah, you mentioned.
SubhanAllah. Jazakumullah khairan. Ustada Ayat, let's talk about a little bit about reciting the Quran. So one of the things that many people are struggling with, and I'm going to say, including myself, I have been through this so many times, is basically maintaining a consistent and regular schedule of Quran recitation. Like, Quran really asks us to make it our priority in our lives, like to recite it no matter how much, but just kind of continuously maintain that relationship, to have this connection with it, etc. So what would you give as an advice to someone who is really struggling with making a consistent and a regular schedule of reciting the Quran?
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. This is definitely an issue that I think we all have, is just trying to be consistent. And so I think I'll start off with, first of all, just changing our, number one is a mentality shift, and then number two, what is a practical way of how we can overcome or just make kind of like a schedule for us that with baby steps, we'll get to the goal that we want, inshallah. So first of all, our mentality shift needs to change in that realizing that the Quran is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكُ. It is blessed. So instead of thinking that I need to like put some time, I need some time for my Quran, it's taking too much time, the Quran is going to bless my time. It's going to bless everything, including my time. So when I have that mentality that the Quran will bless my time, I will be more motivated to make that time in my day to have my Quran. My focus every day is, today I need to get my Quran in. I have to review my Quran today. So with this mentality, it's going to bless my time. Maybe something that usually takes me an hour will now take me half an hour. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make my kids easier to deal with. Whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless my time. It is blessed. So just coming in every day with this mentality will help me in following my schedule more and be motivated to stick to it. So having said that, what is my schedule? What does my schedule look like every day for Quran for it to be consistent? So I think in here, I was introduced, alhamdulillah, to a golden revision strategy from Ustada Tissam al-Amoudi. And she explains how every day we need to have two parts. And that part is something called Muraja'a al-Sughra and something called Muraja'a al-Kubra. And this way you will hit both problems of, oh my God, my memorization is so shaky and it just keeps getting weaker and weaker. And the problem of every time I memorize, the things I memorized in the past just go out the window. They've become weak. Like I'm strengthening here and then it weakens here. So what is the solution, inshallah, to make both of these memorizations, whether it's fresh or whether it's really old, very strong, is something that she calls Muraja'a al-Sughra and Muraja'a al-Kubra. So every day, this is what I'm going to do. After, of course, making dua, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, help me just do my Quran every single day. Help me review or memorize or whatever your goals are. So I'll just try to make it quick. This literally is given in like at least an hour workshop of like details of how, you know, with examples of how to apply it, but just to give you guys an idea. So Muraja'a Sughra is the closest memorization to the fresh thing that you just memorized. So for example, if I memorize page 11 of Surah Al-Baqarah, my Muraja'a Sughra is page 11, 10, 9, for example, the closest. Muraja'a Al-Kubra is you take everything you know from the Quran, everything, all those pages, you add them up and you divide them, let's say maximum a month. So for example, in all of the Quran, if I know 90 pages of the Quran, 90 pages, and I'm going to review all of my 90 pages in 1 month, that means 3 pages a day, right? So 3 pages every single day for a month will make me review everything I know from the Quran. So every year I'm reviewing my Quran 12 times of all that I know. And so it sounds like a big deal, but once you divide it, it's actually not, it's very little. So if you know 90 pages, it's only 3 pages a day. And then you're also focusing with, if you are memorizing, not to forget about the closest memorization to that hifz. So today, Muraja'a Sughra, just a recap. Muraja'a Sughra, today I memorized page 11. My Muraja'a Sughra is 11, 10, 9, however much you can do. Her method is 10 pages, but that's a lot in the beginning. Let's do like 2 pages. So my Muraja'a Sughra today is 11 and 10. Tomorrow, let's say I memorize page 12. My Muraja'a Sughra becomes 12, 11. The day after I memorize page 13, my Muraja'a Sughra becomes 13, 12. So I keep going down like that. And so one chunk of my day is Muraja'a Sughra, and one chunk of my day is Muraja'a Al-Kubra. So today I need to do my 3 pages. Tomorrow, my 3 pages. The next day. And by the end of the month, you will have reviewed everything you know of the Quran. It's just amazing when you think about it, how much baby steps can add up, and how much we go years without even reviewing everything that we know of the Quran. So just implementing this, Muraja'a Sughra every day, Muraja'a Al-Kubra every day, however little or much it is, and with that, baby steps, inshallah, by the end of the month, you will have gained. Or if you want to divide it by 2 months, that's fine for the beginning. But inshallah, that will really strengthen your hifz, strengthen your revision, and it'll keep you focused on a goal, because now you have a goal where every single day you need to get your Quran in order to keep your hifz and your revision strong. I'm sorry if that was too long, Stella. You know, I go on.
No. I loved it. I loved it. May Allah reward you. I never thought about it, subhanAllah, before like this. But I'm just thinking about how there are so many different types of people, Stella. Like, for example, some people, I know myself, and I know that if I think about, like, for the next month or 2 months or, you know, a year, every day I'm just going to think about, oh, in that 3 months or 4 months, I'm going to review everything that I know, or I'm going to review like this 3 or 4 times. And it makes me so excited that I forget that I have to focus on the day that I'm reviewing. So for some people, the people who are like me, get very excited about finishing things and seeing that end goal and how we're going to be so happy when we review everything and making this a consistent part of our daily schedule. If you're struggling with this, as I was, I remember this very well. What really helped me is focusing only on the day that I'm reviewing. Like, I have my general schedule. I know that inshallah in a month or so, I'm going to review everything. But today, I don't have to think about the end of the month or how it's going to be like this or that in the end of the month reviewed and all. I just focus on today. So today, I need to review my 3 pages. That's what I'm going to do. And if I finish that, I'm on my schedule. I'm fine. I don't have to worry. And I don't have to rethink and overthink it. Like, just like for the rest of the sisters who maybe overthink it like I am here. Do you struggle with that, Ustad? Like, overthinking about seeing that end goal and like focusing too much on it? I hope you don't.
I think it's a motivation for me. It's like, you know, for me personally, it's like it motivates me more, and I'm more put into account when I know I'm working towards something something bigger. So instead of me reviewing, let's say, like 3 pages every day, if I know I'm reviewing 3 pages every day and I'm getting to this goal, it'll make me more pushed to review mm-hmm. the pages every day. Does that make sense?
It does.
So it's just more of like I'm working towards something.
Yes, I, as I said, I just get too excited, and then like just being daily reminded that, okay, for today I just need to do this or that, really helped me a lot in my Quran struggle as well. I just want to also give salams to everyone who has joined us in the meantime. May Allah reward you, and thank you so much for being with us. We're checking out the comments, inshallah. We're going to see if there's something that we can share with the teachers, if they want to give you advice on something additional. But in the meantime, meantime, let's go with reading the Quran in the times when it feels very difficult. This is something that is quite a struggle for many students, I would say. Like, we get really motivated at the beginning of our Quran journey or at the beginning of our schedule of reciting the Quran, memorizing the Quran, reviewing the Quran. And then tests, of course, come. As Sheikh Haifa usually mentions, like, everything that we say or make an intention to do, etc., Allah is going to test you. And it really does happen every single time. And then it becomes very difficult. Like, the Quran recitation becomes so heavy. We cannot memorize anything. We feel like it's all somewhere stuck and it's everything is getting mixed up. We're really kind of not feeling that moment. We are just having a very hard time. So, or it can be also that we're very, let's say, sleepy, or we get very easily distracted from, by, let's say, the social media, by our family around us, or we get discouraged, etc. So, Ustad Rana, what would you give as an advice, let's say, to sisters all over the world, including myself in many cases, who are have this type of a struggle, like when it gets really difficult and you just get stuck?
Subhanallah. I feel like my main thing is to have your niyyah and to think about, yani, think about the Quran, that this is, the Quran is something high. This is the words of Allah to you. So how do you feel if you spend all your day let's say it in like in another word, if you have a machine or anything, or you want to work with it, or you want to do it, what do? You open the manual, you see how it works, you follow the things that are there in the manual, right? So subhanAllah, Allah has created us and He has given us our manual, so, which is the Quran, which is going to give us the spiritual, the need, everything we have. So subhanAllah, the Quran is high and we need it. This is the mentality that we need to think about it. So we, inshallah, we will not feel we will not feel lazy, or we will feel discouraged or distracted from it. You need to have this feeling that you need the Quran in your day, because this is Allah's word to you every day. And subhanAllah, when you're reading the Quran, every time in your life, when you are reading the Quran, it will give you an answer to the problem that you are having. Yani, if you are sad, you go to Surah Yusuf, you will feel, subhanAllah, relieved, and you feel how the struggle that he has went all through his life, and then this will give you help. And subhanAllah, as Sister Haifa was talking when she was in Gaza, that yani, the ayat have different meaning when you are struggling. When you see, say, Surah Allahu Nasran Aziza, or the ayat about like al-mu'mineen and how Allah is gonna give them help. Yani, if you think that the Quran is the manual or the barakah of your day, this way, this you will not feel like discouraged from doing it, or whenever you feel like the shaitan is telling you, oh, you're not going to be able to do it. You think about it, that this is the thing that you need. It's the words of Allah to you every day. So whatever you're reading, it's Allah's word to you on this day. This will help you on your struggle on that day. Subhanallah. This is what I feel about it. So, and doing a small thing every day, يعني قليل دائم خير من كثير منقطع. If you do a small part every day and make it consistent, this will help you to incorporate it in your life. Don't go, okay, I'm going to do 10 arza, I'm going to do 5 arza, I'm going to do 3 juz. No, find something that you can be consistent with. Do a small amount every day and try to be consistent with it. I have a friend, subhanAllah, one time I asked her, what do you do to keep your Quran? Yani, you don't lose doing a day with the Quran. MashaAllah, she's a very, she's a hafidh. And she one time told me, I have to do a juz a day. This is what she puts on her, the amount that she promised herself to do. She said, okay, if I don't go on Qiyam al-Layl, if I don't wake up for Tahajjud, I don't do my juz on Tahajjud, I do it after Fajr. If I don't do it after Fajr, I don't eat breakfast until I finish my juz. This is my way. Okay, I don't finish my juz, I'm not going to start having breakfast. Like, it's, she said, like, Like, I do this, subhanAllah. And I was like, oh, I hope I can.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, she said, okay, if I finish it by 8, that's fine. If I don't finish it by 11, then my breakfast is at 11. This is one
Allah
she treats herself to be consistent with herself. SubhanAllah, everyone would know how you... So, yani, make your Quran like... if you do this, okay, then you have done your share of the day. This is yani one way. When I listened to her and she told me this, I was like, mashallah, some people know how to treat themselves. You know how they can... So you know yourself. Some people know how, I'll tell you what, one time, some people know how to do things in coordinates to others. Like you say, some people find it easier for them. I do 5 prayers a day. After each prayer, I open my Quran, do 1 page or 2 page. Like for people who are, their schedule is more consistent, they can do this. So you can find a way to make your Quran work, inshallah, with the way that you... manage your day, but you have your niyyah before you go to bed that the next day I'm gonna do this, inshallah. If you don't finish it until the night, you do it lastly before you sleep. Yani, inshallah, this is one way to make yourself accountable of what you promise yourself to do.
This is very interesting. It reminds me of advice that I heard about a few years ago when someone said, like, if you want to establish a certain type of act of worship, act of ibadah, and then, for example, let's say you did not, let's say, pray regularly, and now you want to really establish to pray every single salah in the day. And then let's say of course, shaitan will come to you and he will want you to give up and to not pray, etc. So when you do not pray a certain salah in the day, you make yourself, let's say, not only make up that prayer, but also additionally, let's say, fast the next day. So that, like, you add additional act of worship to the one that you missed. And then the commentator who shared this story with me, then he said, like, even shaitan will help you pray every single prayer in the day, because he will not love you to pray to even fast plus do a salah every single day, subhanAllah.
Yeah. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, atbi' as-sayyi'ata al-hasana, in the hadith, atbi' as-sayyi'ata al-hasanata tamhuha. If you make something a sin, you go do something good. So if you feel like, oh, you did do your thing, just promise yourself to do something more. This way you're gonna stick to your usual and not miss it.
This is so beautiful, because here, as Ustaz Rana beautifully shared, you make the Quran your priority. Like, Quran always is there. There is no way I'm gonna miss my Quran, and I'm gonna even skip my breakfast or not sleep at the time when I need to sleep, because I need to do the Quran that I need to do. I need to review. I need to recite. I need to memorize. It's a part of my daily routine. It's so important, subhanAllah, that we have this mindset. How important the Quran is in our daily life. Jazakumullah khairun, Ustaz Rana. Now let's. I hope that the audience, inshallah, will forgive me if we're skipping from topic to topic a little bit. But now I would like to talk a little bit about tajweed, because there are some sisters who submitted our form and asked how to remember which tajweed rules to apply when we are reciting on our own. So basically, recognizing and applying tajweed rulings when we're reciting on our own. Who would like to share a little bit? Some advice on this topic, inshallah. Sada Ayat, are you ready? Are you interested?
I'm so excited for the momhood struggle, but I have a little bit of maybe advice for this. I think Sada Rana will be able to answer better, but I will have just a small tip on this, which is to incorporate audio. When you incorporate, so for example, I'm memorizing a certain surah. For that surah, I'm going to pick a certain reciter, and I will make sure that that reciter has tajweed that I can trust. I can, like, verify it by a Quran teacher, just ask her to listen to this reciter for me. But one thing that really helps apply tajweed rules without you even knowing is that when you memorize or when you review, you are doing so with a reciter, and you, by default, will copy him without you even knowing, and you will copy not even when he stops and when he continues, and even maybe when he when his tone goes up or down, depending on the meaning of the ayah. But you'll also copy his tajweed without you even knowing. So if he makes ikhfa', you're going to stop a little bit. If he makes ikhfa', you're just going to copy him. So I think I would say I do this as a must with with the sisters mm-hmm. in class is that we need to, every single surah, we pick a reciter that we stick to. And by mm-hmm. default, you will start copying him without knowing.
That's wonderful. Ustadh Rana, would you like to add on this?
Yes, what Sister Ayat said is yani, the actual truth about this. Listening is the keyword. Listening mm-hmm. is the keyword. Because if you listen, you're going to imitate. And one thing, the knowledge of tajweed, it's not a fard kifaya. Yani, you don't have to know all the rules of the tajweed to be able to read. But what you should do is read in the correct way. And this, you can see this if, you know, subhanAllah, I taught children and women. So when you teach children, you read the ayah in front of them right, then they're going to imitate you regardless of knowing. They don't know anything and they can read right. They don't know the ahkam. They don't know this is ikhfa, this is idgham, or what is this. They are just imitating what the teacher is doing. And this is the same as listening. And this is what we want to know. Yani, what is farad on us is to read the Quran correctly. Knowing mm-hmm. the tajweed rule is something that will help you to do the hukam, but what we are ordered to do is reading correctly. And how we do it, or how we obtain it, by listening to someone who is reading it the same way, yani imitating the reciter who is reciting, doing as Sister Ayat said, imitating him with the akhfa, imitating with the mudud, even the haraka, subhanallah, yani some people read on their own, and they just like mix the fatha with the alif. And this is, although you think it's not a big thing, but it's a very big thing when this is related to the meaning of the word. Yani, instead of saying, let's say, لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ, if you prolong this fatha, you make it لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ, let's say, you're changing the whole meaning of the word. So listening is the key word to reciting the tajweed good, inshallah. And the ahkam, yani you don't have to identify all of the ahkam, but you have to imitate all the ahkam in the Quran. Mm.
SubhanAllah. Let's stay a little bit here on the recitation portion of the Quran. Other than consistency in the Quran recitation, another like important struggle that many sisters are having like is reciting, let's say, longer verses in the Quran. Like when we, for example, when we open Juz' Amma, it's quite a juz that is full of very short verses and short ayat. And it's usually like easier to, let's say, hold our breath and to recite one ayah at a time and just continue, etc. However, when you come to, let's say, Suratul Baqarah or other surahs of the Quran that are longer and have much longer ayat in themselves, it may be a little bit of a challenge to even kind of be able to either hold our breath or to kind of stop at the right places, to continue from the right places, to not change the meaning of the Quran. Is there anything you would like to share on this, Ustadh Rana, before we continue with some other topics?
Uh-huh. Bismillah. Usually when I work with my students, like in the class, some especially with like a new ones or something, you know, subhanAllah, the scholars have made it easy on us. Yani, if you look at the Quran, when they so they put all the signs like the jim, the qili, the sili, the all these signs. I call them as like you know how the red light or the orange light or the green light in the like when you're walking on the streets with your car. So these are exactly the same. Whenever you see one of these, this means that you're gonna. This is the time you can stop and you can take your breath. So I always tell them, whenever you see one of these signs, you can stop, take your breath and continue. And usually go, yani, stop on these signs because I don't want you to lose your breath on somewhere that would make the meaning not right, like or make the meaning changed. Or and sometimes if you change the meaning, it's yani, it makes a big difference. It makes like a meaning that is haram to stop, you know. So instead of having this issue, just you have these signs. Whenever you see one of these signs, you can take a breath, you can stop. So stop on these signs in order not to stop somewhere else, like mm-hmm. The city, the jinn. All of this mm-hmm. are places you can stop. And if you are reading a long ayah and you don't see any of these stops, stop and repeat from the words that you have stopped on. Like you stop on this word, you go back, you read it, and then you continue.
Mm-hmm.
This is like in general, but subhanAllah, in classes we usually work on them even on their stops.
SubhanAllah, mashallah, jazakumullahu khairan for helping students out in this process, because that's really kind of sometimes it gets a struggle when you stop and you don't know, especially if you don't know Arabic and you cannot understand basically what you're reading. So to summarize all everything we have shared so far, for someone to start their journey of the Quran in general, or to either start the let's say the recitation or the pronunciation of the letters, listening is a very important portion. Having a teacher with you who is going to teach you, who is going to guide you through that process, is very important. Listening to reciters is important. Listening to yourself is important. Seeing yourself in the mirror, let's say, is important. And keeping your Quran a priority in your day is a very important thing, so that we keep our relationship with the Quran very strong, so to say, and to prevent these maybe struggles from even happening. Let's go now to the memorization, which is your expertise, I would say, for the both of you, inshallah. There are many, many sisters who are thinking about starting the Quran memorization journey, and they love the Quran. They want to memorize the Quran. They want to get closer to Allah through the Quran. They know the value and all of the virtues of memorizing the Quran by heart, but they are afraid and they don't know where to start. So what would be something that you would recommend? Maybe here we can start with the Ustadha Ayat. What would be something that you would recommend for someone who is thinking about starting their Quran memorization, but is not sure where to start or how to start?
Bismillah. Ustadha, if you allow me, can I add just a tip from the previous question? That
Of course. Yes. Of course. May Allah reward.
I remember hearing at a Hifz workshop this the struggle of when you have difficulty in a long verse, of having to stop frequently in the verse. A tip that was given in that Hifz workshop, it was by Ihsani Academy, that they said it's just a simple practice, just to gauge it, is that when you take a deep breath, does your chest come out first or does your stomach come out first? And most likely, if you take a deep breath, your chest will come out first, which means that your breath isn't long enough. And so a tip that they gave that really, really you can see in action just as you apply it, is if you take a deep breath from your nose and you try, instead of stopping when your chest comes out, is that you keep taking that deep breath until your stomach comes out, and then you begin reciting the ayah, you will have a much longer breath. And with this tip of longer ayahs is, first, before you start the ayah, take a deep breath and make sure your stomach comes out before your chest. And then number two, the same thing, and I go back to this a lot, is audio. If you are following a reciter that you are memorizing with, stop and continue where he stops and continue, and you will make sure to be on the safe side with not changing the meaning, because you're trusting his recitation and you're just going to copy him, inshallah. Okay, so for the question about where to start, look, memorizing the Quran and being involved in the Quran is the best possible thing you can be doing in this dunya. So shaitan is going to come at you right and left, and he's going to come at you from a door of fear, maybe, in that, oh my God, this is so overwhelming, where do I even start? First step to start with your intention is getting involved in a class, because that will hold you accountable. Your teacher can give you advice, your classmates can give you advice, and that is a really good place to start. But just mentality, I think mentality is so important, is to realize you are engaging in the best possible thing in this dunya. Don't you want to be from Ahl al-Quran? Ahl Allahi wa khasatu, the people, the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's by Quran. I mean, there are a lot of beautiful deeds out there, but the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are known by their Quran, Ahl al-Quran. So remember, like, immerse yourself in the virtues of the Quran, in pushing that fear away, and have that good intention, and start in a class, because that's where, inshallah, other doors will open for you, and the best advice and help will come from the teacher, from the students, and they'll get you going. It'll get you in a place where, inshallah, if you do it by yourself, you might end up being, you know, having to undo a lot of mistakes. But if you start in a class, you can guarantee, inshallah, that you will be on a good first step with your intention, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Ustadha Rana, any tips here?
Yeah, this is the niyyah, subhanAllah. If you have your intention with you that, inshallah, I'm going to start this path, whether it's slow, it's fast, but this is the niyyah. When you have the niyyah, inshallah, And subhanAllah, one thing is, if you have this niyyah, even if you haven't reached your goal, you know, but if you have your niyyah with you all your life, then anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us to him, yani, then he is gonna take us on that we are on this path of the hifz. Yani, and this is the one thing. So whether you are doing little or you're doing big, you have your niyyah and you're going like baby steps, one ayah, two ayah, small surahs, juz amma, al-baqarah, whatever you are doing, you have your niyyah with you, you have your you are yani working on your goal. So inshallah, anytime Allah will take our soul, he will take us as people who are on this path, not just like turning our back to the Quran, which is the subhanallah, yani, this is the sharaf, this is a blessing to us. ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا. So the people of the Quran are those who are chosen. So subhanallah. And one thing, subhanallah, if we remember the Sahaba, they used to do 10 ayah, memorize them, read them. They say كنا نتعلم القرآن ولا نجاوز العشر آيات حتى نعلم ما فيها ونعمل بما فيها. So they used to do 10 ayah. They learn it. They try to apply it in their life, and then they go from on from there. So you can start with baby steps, move forward to one thing, if you want to start for someone who have never memorized, I feel like you should start with small surahs so you can read them in your prayer, because reading the surah in your prayer, this will make it stronger.
So, inshallah, inshallah.
And this is a journey. It's never stopping. You started, and inshallah, it's not going to stop until the last day of our life, inshallah.
Inshallah. May Allah make us among Ahlul Quran, and may Allah make us among those who memorize and recite and are Ahlul Quran until the day we pass away. And finally, I want to, there are two more questions I want to ask you. The first question, and maybe you can respond to both of them in the same time. The first one being, for those, let's say, who have started their Quran memorization, but let's say they finish one surah, they finish or one juz or a part of the Quran, but they then struggle with continuing that path. So let's say they just cannot get themselves motivated to memorize the Quran further, to continue with memorizing another surah, reciting another surah. It's really hard when you kind of finish one place and then to continue in the next one. What would you advise, what were your advice, inshallah, would be for those types of sisters who are struggling with that? And my second question would be, how important, from your perspective, and now as students who have been as students of the Quran, sisters who have recited, memorized, and gone through this process, how important was a teacher, having a teacher and a class of sisters around you, for you, how important was all of this for you in this process, or basically how important it is for us to have a teacher on the path, on our path of the Quran, inshallah. Who would like to go first? Sada Ayat, would you like to go first?
Sada Rana, do you want to go?
Yeah, that's fine, alhamdulillah. This is very, very, very crucial, subhanAllah, to have someone who can help you on this path. Yeah, and I remember from the day when I started memorizing the Quran, I started like, I didn't know any of the tajweed rules at that time. It's like I know how to recite because originally I'm Arab. So I've learned this from like when I was a young girl, yani. But having someone in your life to that, you know, you feel like, okay, I'm reporting to this person every week, your teacher. So you start with your friends yani, until this day, subhanAllah, from the moment I started memorizing until this day, if I am with no one to report to every week, let's say, a teacher who would listen to me, or at least like just test me in a few parts. This will help you to maintain this consistency. Yeah, you know you're gonna do it, but subhanAllah, this will give you like, okay, this day I have to do this. I have to give. Yani, having a teacher and having someone who listens to you, find your mistakes, help you with them. This is very important. Whether you are doing the Quran first time or you're doing your when you're doing your ijazah. Which means when you're doing your memorization on a sheikh, or you have to The sheikh have to listen to you in every ayah, okay? But even after you finish, after you get your, let's say, certificate of memorization, you still have to have a teacher, or at least you need to have a friend who is with you on the same path. Yani, if your memorization is good and everything, then you have to have a friend who is going to help you on the path. Yani, this is subhanAllah very important to have someone on listen to you and help you.
SubhanAllah. And what about the question about starting a new surah when we're or continuing the memorization when we are not motivated on that journey?
SubhanAllah, this is one thing. And when I one time I can't remember where I heard it. Yani, Allah has given us in the way that the Quran is divided. If you look at it, it's 114 surah. So Allah is giving us, okay, every time you're ending this goal, because some people have like they like short goals, right? So Allah has given us very short surahs. You can do three ayah, you will finish a surah. And you have a surah which is like 50 pages, let's say like a surah al-Baqarah. So alhamdulillah, Allah has made the Quran divided into these small goals, and then you have your big goal, which is the Quran. So whenever you, yani, starting a surah, let's say I'm starting a surah that is 10 pages. Okay, I feel like the feel of achievement when I'm done with these 10 pages. When you're done, this is, you need a new goal. Okay, you start another surah and you will have like another 10 or another 5. So I feel, subhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Quran into chapters, this way that you need to have your goal. You have like a small goal or a big goal, like this will help you motivate yourself when you are reaching the end of the surah. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to start a new one. So this division of the surah, the chapters in the Quran to 114, this is some way that I feel Allah has helped us to find new goals every day. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. Ayat. How about your recommendations for people who are struggling with continuing their Quran memorization? They finished one surah, but it's hard for them to get that motivation to continue. And the second question, how important it is to have a teacher in this process?
Bismillah, I think I'll start with the second question first. I think Ustadh Rana answered it beautifully. I think I'll just add... what I've seen personally, the Quran was very individual to me. I didn't really enroll in the class until much later. And I've seen, I cannot recommend it more, and I wish I did it sooner, alhamdulillah. But it was a huge, huge factor in being pushed to do more, because you see sisters who are doing a lot more. So it was very motivating. For example, like let's say before I would review a certain amount of pages, and I thought I was doing okay and I was happy with what I was doing. But then when you are in a environment of the Quran and you see how much more the sisters are doing, you start upping your level. You start having higher goals and you start climbing the ladder. I feel like whenever you're alone, it is very easy to get comfortable with where you are and not motivate yourself and not realize that there's even a level for me to go up on. So like even Sadhana's is a beautiful story about that sister who denied herself breakfast until she reviewed Quran. That's going to stick in my memory and our memory too. And that teaches me to discipline myself more. Like, you know, when you have these people around you, it helps you and motivates you and pushes you to just keep climbing the ladder and then learning from them how they did it. So this tip of denying myself breakfast, or another tip I remember hearing of, I put my child to sleep, and even if they sleep, I sit in the chair until I finish a juz, and I don't get up until I finish the juz, even if my child sleeps. Like these kind of tips and that kind of environment, it makes you keep climbing the ladder and hear about people's tips that help you do so. Other than that, I said that Anna answered beautifully.
Jazakumullahu khairan. There are some sisters who are sharing some of their stories on in the comments, but since we don't have a lot of time left until the end of the webinar, I want to ask one personal question that I hope you will not mind me asking, and that is, what were your personal Quran struggles and what helped you in basically navigating through your own Quran struggles. أستاذ رنا.
Okay. Subhanallah, and one of the struggles I used to have is summer. Yes. When I used to memorize the Quran, like the first few years when I was working on my ijazah, my main problem was summer. Why? Because subhanAllah, in winter, when you are settled, your kids go to school, life is more going on the same pace, things are going good. When I was in Lebanon, like a long time ago, when it's summer, then you go, you see the family, you travel, you do this and this. And subhanAllah, my teacher used to tell me, I don't know what happened to you in summer. Even your voice would go. I have like my voice would go. And I didn't know, I miss a lot of I miss my routine of working with the Quran. So when the summer finishes, I feel like, oh, now I have to go work again and things have to get back into normal. And subhanAllah, this was my main struggle. And I used to like, khalas, in the summer, things are different. But later on, with life, subhanAllah, and with more knowing that Quran is a daily routine, you never have to miss whether you are, you're going hiking, you're going, this is something that has to go with you every time. Yani, subhanAllah, even now, whenever I travel, I have my Quran, even though it's a little bit big, but it's with me. I feel okay, I feel safe. It's with me. If I feel I'm gonna, even though there is Quran on the apps and everything, but subhanAllah, this is your haven. You go back to it every time. Alhamdulillah, when I grew older, things got more settled. Now, even if it's summer, then this is something you have to do all the time. And that's why, subhanAllah, later on in life, I started, okay, it's summer, so what? I still have my classes. I'm not going to end up, I'm traveling, then what? I'm going to have classes. I'm here, I'm going to have classes. I'm there, I'm going to have classes. Today, it's in the day in America, in the Arab world, it's night, then that's fine. It's subhanAllah. This way you feel this is a lifetime project. You're not going to get out of it, yani, subhanAllah. And my main struggle used to be summer. But alhamdulillah, you know, we're getting over it these days. Alhamdulillah, may Allah help us.
Do you know what Sheikh Haifa usually says about summer? She usually says, there is no vacation from the deen. You know, Sadayat, how she mentions that usually. May Allah reward her. Jazakumullahu khairan. Sadayat, what were your struggles?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I hope to make this short, Sada Amina, but this is a big struggle. So, Sadarana is saying summer. I'm saying fall, spring, and summer, because when you have little kids, it's all year round. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, I think my biggest struggle that came later is, and alhamdulillah, it's a big blessing, but this is the struggle of motherhood. Alhamdulillah, I'm a mom of two. And both of them are under five. And so there's no school yet. And so the struggle of motherhood is real in a sense that there's no such thing as a checklist. There's no such thing as individual time. There's no such thing as a schedule that's similar every single day. And so my personal struggle was realizing how drastically different my Quran journey was before the kids came and after the kids came. Completely different. And I really, really hope to try and share as many tips as I can to all those moms who are dealing with, who are going through this huge blessing, but also a big test to how are we going to maintain our Quran journey. By the way, Ustada, can you hear me? Because I do hear a muffle. I'm not sure if that's from me. But before I continue.
Let me mute myself, inshallah. I can hear you. I can hear you well, alhamdulillah. Okay. Let me mute myself. Maybe that's causing trouble.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the struggle of being a mom with little kids who do not go to school yet, or maybe you're homeschooling, how do we navigate against that? How do we navigate with it? First of all, like I always go back to, the mentality. The Quran will bless my time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's Mubarak. This book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayka Mubarak. It is a blessed book. It will bless my time. It'll bless my kids. It'll bless everything. It'll bless my health. It'll bless my energy. So I need to do it regardless. Just because kids came in the picture does not mean my Quran journey goes down and does not mean it stops. Definitely not. We just have to make the best of our time and work around our situation. So what does that mean? There is not going to be an ideal scenario like in the past where you have your own time, undivided, no break of attention, where I sit, just sit with my Quran and I can sit as long as I want. I'm going to use my day in making this possible, inshallah. First of all, dua. Ya Allah, help me have my Quran today. Somehow, some way, just help it happen. Make your intention, have your dua. And I'm just going to share a few tips that I've been using myself over the years. I've just found have helped with this. Number one is the concept of audio, and then I'll take it into how do we deal with, depending on the level, the age of our children, baby, toddler. So I personally have a baby and a toddler, so I'll go with that. And if your kids go to school, then definitely your alone time with your Quran is when the kids are at school and when they come back. And I'll explain that in just a little bit. But first, I want to touch on the point of audio, which I've been referring to throughout this webinar. Audio, especially when you're a mom. What does this mean? In a surah that I pick, I'm going to pick a recital that I'm going to memorize with. And I want just to put it into, just to give you an idea of how much this will make your time easier, inshallah, is giving you an example. When I have a reciter who recites, a fast reciter will recite around a minute. A more slow reader will recite around 3 minutes. So let's say one page takes you like about 2 minutes to listen to. So one page, about 2 minutes from a reciter, right? So 10 minutes, in 10 minutes, how many pages will you review? 5 pages. In 20 minutes, you can review 10 pages. In 40 minutes, you can review a juz. Okay, why am I saying this? Is because we are going to use our time as mothers, whether that's in the kitchen, whether that's cleaning, whether that's driving, whether that's even nursing, just trying to cover. What time we are using with our kids, we are going to use that and we are going to play audio because we do not have the luxury of holding our Quran all the time. So our revision in the day of reviewing my Quran is going to be implemented with audio. Personally, what I've seen works with me and my daughter is that you can have something called Quran time. We are having our Quran time. Right now we're doing Quran time. And you can make it a positive experience, heart's the best thing in the world, whatever it is, make it positive. And how are you going to do it? Is that if she does her Quran time and you do your Quran time at the same time, the noises will clash. So what have I found that worked? Just a tip for moms. When your daughter or your son, whoever it is, your child that's not going to school, they have their Quran time. To give them something sensory, like hand playing, whatever it is, for them to play with. And then you're playing on a different device, their Quran time. So I personally put Minshawi Kids and I put a surah and it's always on loop during her whole playtime. For me, a lifesaver has been wireless earphones. And I'm doing my revision with my reciter at the same time. So she's playing and listening to her Quran and I'm also doing my revision at the same time. If I can hold the mushaf, great. If I can't, I'm listening at least. And this is how I'll get my revision in. When I need my memorization, I need, some of you are still memorizing, I need a little bit more a little bit more focused time. And this comes, you see your day. So for example, if it's when the kids sleep and you're still awake and have energy, that could be your time. But personally, by the time the night is out, I'm probably just as exhausted as them. If it's like your husband is taking them to the park, that is your memorization time. If you are taking them to the park, that is your memorization time. When they're playing on the playground, when they are taken care of. If you are having a play day at home and the kids are coming and they're playing together, that is your memorization time. So it's not about making these unrealistic scenarios of like my perfect Quran time sitting on my desk. It's about making use of what time we have now with the use of audio. Not only will your memorization be stronger and your hifz will be stronger and your tajweed will be stronger, you will also have the emotional connection with that reciter that you love in learning the meaning, in his voice mimicking the meaning. So audio as a mother, that's definitely helped me so much. I'm sorry, Steph, Amina, can I mention another tip or are we done?
Of course. I want to learn it.
So definitely audio as a mom. And just to keep in mind, like 10 pages will take you 20 minutes. 20 pages will take you 40 minutes. And we all spend that much time in the kitchen, at least. So in the kitchen, cleaning, at the park, doing laundry, putting to sleep, walking, car rides, all of these times you're putting your reciter on and that's when you're reviewing. Now, how about your memorization? We said that in those more quiet times, whether the kids are at the park, whether they're at the play date, more focus time, because that's for your memorization. So in the day, I have my revision, I have my memorization. And the revision is always with audio, and the memorization is also always with audio, but at a more quiet time. And this memorization, just keep playing the surah that you're memorizing. It'll slowly, subconsciously be put in your mind because you're more used to his voice. So that when you sit down and you actually memorize, it'll be so much faster because you already have his voice in your mind. I think I'll just end up with so many tips, but do not put your Quran away just because we have kids. And I'm speaking as a mother. This is what will help us with our kids. And our kids are a bottomless pit of unlimited entertainment. There is never going to be a time where they're not going to want to play, not going to. And always remember, لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. Don't let your kids and your wealth divert you from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most noble form of dhikr is Quran. So I personally, that doesn't mean not to give them individual attention, but that do not feel guilty and do not hesitate to make Quran a part of your day for them to see it. And always tell yourself, لا تلهكم. Don't let them divert you. Yes, you're going to play with them, but yes, you still have your own Quran time. And sorry, this is actually the last thing I will say, is when you have your Quran time with your kids, and if they are going to school, they still need to see us doing our Quran time at home, because they need to see that mom loves Quran, mom prioritizes Quran. So even if you get your Quran done when they are at school, or when they are taken care of by the husband or play dates or whatever it is, they need to see in my day me reviewing Quran somehow, some way, whether I'm in the kitchen and they're hearing it playing, they still need to see it. Even if you got your Quran done for the day, they need to see it, because it'll, inshallah, it'll stick with them when they get older. This is a huge topic, but all the moms out there, the struggle is real, but do not give up. We need to keep our Quran going, no matter how many kids are in the picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for our struggle. And it's not about making the perfect day. It's about using the times in our day to always just keep Quran in mind. Oh, can I do my Quran now? They're gone. Oh, can I do my Quran now? She's busy. Oh, can I do my Quran now? He's sleeping. Always just keep it in your mind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. Inshallah. I'm sorry, Ustada.
Inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. It's so wonderful to listen to all of these tips. It really is visible how important this topic it is for you. And I'm glad that you shared. And jazakumullahu khairan for being very personal and vulnerable in this topic and sharing tips that, inshallah, can help a lot of moms out there who are struggling with similar struggles. I would say that this works not only with small children, but all of the members of our family. When we practice ourselves the connection with the Quran, when we nurture and have that strong relationship with the Quran, when the Quran is important to us, it will become important to the people around us without the pushing constantly and all of that nagging. Finally, for our beloved audience who is joining us today in the My Quran Struggles webinar, we want to offer one more tip or one more advice in the end. And that is something that the Jannah Institute team has been working on for the past few months in the preparation of the summer semester Quran program and Quran memorization and recitation program at Jannah Institute. Alhamdulillah, in the upcoming few weeks, inshallah, we're starting our Quran summer semester. And since we have mentioned so many times how important it is to learn the Quran from a teacher, to learn the Quran from someone who has that had that experience before you, who can guide you through stopping, starting from memorize, who can help you in memorizing, reviewing, who can help you start the pronunciation of the letters first and foremost, who can help you with applying the tajweed rulings. We have made a whole program at Jannah Institute just to help you with that. And I would like to share now, if you wouldn't mind, it's going to be very quick. I would like to share with you, inshallah, the program or the courses that we're offering this summer semester, inshallah, so you can find something that is for you. And I'm going to just give you a few guidelines on what course may be interesting for you, inshallah. So in the upcoming summer semester, we are offering I hope you can see my screen. No, you can't see my screen yet. Okay, inshallah, we'll, it will be there soon. So in the upcoming summer semester, we're firstly offering the Quranic alphabet class, which is basically a class that is intended for all of you who do not, who are not able to recite the Quran at all. So this class is for you if you want to start your Quran journey and you cannot recite the Quran, you don't know how to pronounce the letters, or you have studied this a long time ago and you haven't reviewed afterwards at all, so you want to continue that journey. So that's the Quranic alphabet class. The next one is the perfecting recitation of Surah Al-Hashr. And that is a class that I would recommend for sisters who are who have finalized, let's say, the Quranic alphabet class, or who aren't able to read the Quran, but on a very basic level, and they would like to help or to improve their Quran recitation. What I really love about this surah and the experience that the students will have with this surah, inshallah, is basically the, especially the last portion of the surah, which talks about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a, not only a good chance or a good opportunity to learn and to practice the Quran recitation, but also it's a good opportunity to learn the, some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to connect to them and kind of have them connected to your heart. We are also offering two tajweed classes this summer, inshallah. Both of them very different. The first one is the tajweed level one, which is a class where you will be learning tajweed rulings and application of those tajweed rulings in the Quran. As you know, the Quran should be recited with applying the tajweed. So this is a very good class for you if you want to continue the journey of tajweed, or inshallah, start it anew. Another very interesting class that we're offering is the Tajweed Review class, which is, I believe, needed for many of us who have studied Tajweed maybe a long time ago, or like there has been some time since we learned Tajweed and how to apply it and all of that. And now it's time, inshallah, to kind of move forward and to review what we have learned and to have someone with us to help us in that review process and to show us how to apply what we have learned before. So this is a class that I would recommend to those types of audiences. And then we are coming to a few of our memorization classes, which are very, all of them very beautiful and special and interesting. The first one being Surah Al-Baqarah. As you know, it's a special surah, very dear to all of our hearts. The second one in the Quran, coming right after Surah Al-Fatiha, the one that is the largest one, the largest verse of the Quran is in it. So it's a it can be a challenge, but it's a surah I would say for those of you who like a challenge at the beginning of the summer, inshallah, for yourself. Another one is Surah Al-Anfal. Surah Al-Anfal is for maybe more advanced students, inshallah, who have memorized before and would like to continue a little bit in their Quran memorization. The same goes with Surah Al-Isra, because usually these two classes are going to be joined with a little bit more advanced students. So this is a good chance to, let's say, get a chance to, I would say, meet and learn so much from Ustadha Rana, who is with us today with Surah Al-Isra, and Ustadha Lina, who also is a very experienced teacher in teaching advanced students in their memorization. So it's a very warm recommendation for those two surahs. Okay, so the final two surahs are Surah Yasin and Surah Al-Kahf, memorization of both surahs. You can join one class or both of the classes, both of them are fine. Surah Yasin, the heart of the Quran, like it's always a special surah when it's usually known as the heart of the Quran. It's only six pages. I think that it can be a very beautiful surah to memorize, even if you do not have a lot of experience in memorizing, because the verses are not very hard to memorize. It's a very kind of very often repeated surah, I would say, all over the world. So inshallah, it should be kind of familiar to many of the ears of our sisters who may join the class. So why not? Why always read it from the Quran when finally you can memorize the heart of the Quran by your heart, so to say? And finally, Surah Al-Kahf, or the Friday surah, the surah that protects us, in which there are ayat which protect us from the Dajjal, a beautiful surah, again, beautiful stories inside of it, beautiful messages inside of it, beautiful connections to the heart that we can make, a lot of takeaways from again such a beautiful surah. And I would say that a surah that can really help us find, let's say, the relief in the struggling times and in the struggling period of life which we're living in. So inshallah, our really warm recommendations for all of these memorization. And finally, if you are again on the more advanced level or you have memorized the last portion of the Quran, we also offer a review of the Quran of the Juz 21 through 25 inshallah, for those of you who have memorized it and would like to review it with us inshallah. So these are the courses that you're offering. As I said, the goal of all of these courses is really to help you all, inshallah, in your memorization process. Oh, pardon me, the malfunction of the microphone. The goal of all of these courses is really to help you in all of your struggles, to help you start with your Quran recitation or your Quran journey, to help you review your knowledge of the Quran, to help you get to that next level, because it's really not the same when you're reciting on your own, when you're trying on your own, when you're memorizing on your own, when you're doing it with a teacher. And lastly, I would like to share this as my personal struggle, which has always been that I have tried to do the Quran and try to learn, memorize, review, and do all of that alone. I thought I could do it on my own, but only when I joined a class or when I had a teacher to help me on that path was that I really realized how much I was missing on one hand, and on the other hand, that I realized how much I needed it in my life. So join a class, learn from a teacher, listen to the Quran, don't spare yourself from pushing yourself in your relationship with the Quran. It's really worth it. And let's put this as a final message from today's webinar, one of the sentences that Ustaz Ayat shared, and that is, the Quran is Mubarak. The Quran is full of barakah. It will bring barakah in your day, in your time, in your family, in your relationship with it, and your relationship with Allah. May Allah make us among Ahlul Quran, among those who love the Quran, who are close to the Quran, and who will be, inshallah, rewarded at the Day of Judgment because of our relationship with the Quran. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan for joining us today once again. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullahu khair, sister.